Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. We thank you for being with us on a Friday morning, and we're happy to be here. And it's also a Target Demo Friday, which means we want to know how you're listening, where you are, and if you would take Badlands Booker over Percy the Ostrich in a spaghetti eating competition. That's available via meme on Twitter, DA on CBS. Check out the meme of all of those things I just mentioned. Or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. And leave your information. I'll read those coming up here on the show next hour. Coming up this hour, Dan Shaughnessy, the always entertaining columnist from the Boston Globe, is going to join us. A lot of Boston stuff to get to with him. Specifically, the Celtics continue to sink through this regular season. Is there any hope in Celtics land? The Red Sox have new jerseys, those garish yellow and light blue ones. Ugh. And there's a lot of questions about the Patriots heading into this offseason, this NFL draft, and what this regular season means. That's all coming up here on the show. Dan's going to join us coming up in 20 minutes. And then also next hour, Rulon Gardner is going to join us. You might remember that name. He was a gold medalist wrestling Olympian in the 2000 Olympics in Sydney. He's going to join us coming up on the show in a little over an hour from now. So that should be very interesting. We'll talk about his Olympic memories and an incredible journey throughout his Olympic career, as the Olympics are also set to return this summer, postponed from last year. 40 minutes from now, we will discuss Juju Smith-Schuster's free agent decision and whether he made the right decision to come back to Pittsburgh. So a lot to get to in the final 2 hours of this work week here aboard the mothership. You can always dial us up at 855-212-4CBS on the phones. That's toll free, 855-212-4CBS. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. I want to play for you a clip of LeVar Arrington, former Pro Bowl linebacker, most notably for Washington. He was an analyst for Fox Sports 1 and First Things First the other day. And he said something which has created quite the stir, that Bill Belichick's seat is getting warm. Here is LeVar Arrington.
Having the type of season that they had last year can make you rethink a whole lot of things that you did in the past. That seat is warm for Bill Belichick. And that might sound crazy for some people, but
that's
Bill Belichick has to have a good season this year. And you know why? Because there are whispers. It was Tom. It was always Tom. It couldn't have been anything else but Tom. And Bill Belichick has to show before he gets too far away from Tom Brady leaving that it was not Tom Brady. It was, in fact, and indeed, the system of what Bill Belichick built in New England.
So that obviously has created quite a stir because people are like, wait a second, Bill Belichick won 6 Super Bowls. He's regarded by many as the greatest coach of all time. He had one bad season, and suddenly his seat is warm. And here would be my take. I think it's nuanced. If the Patriots go 7-9 this season, and the Bucs win a second Super Bowl, if the Patriots go 1-15 this season, and the Buccaneers go 10-6, if the Patriots are a disaster, and the Buccaneers have a winning season, and Tom Brady shines, there is no way that Robert Kraft fires Bill Belichick. There's no way. There is no way that in February 2022 or January 2022, Bill Belichick is fired by the New England Patriots. Not going to happen. It is not in the realm of possibility. They would not only give him 2 years post-Brady before they fired him, unceremoniously dumping him, or even pushing him out to force some type of resignation or parting mutually. It's not going to happen. Not to say it's guaranteed Bill Belichick coaches 2022 in New England, but it's highly, highly likely. I would say the odds of Belichick coaching 2022 in New England are about 80 to 90%. Now, I reserve the 10 to 20% of he just wants to retire because he is one of the oldest coaches in football. He has accomplished everything, and it's not off the table. It's not out of the realm of possibility that there's an outside shot that if the Patriots did win a Super Bowl or were terrible, Belichick would just say, okay, enough is enough, and I'm good. So that's what I would reserve the 10% for. What is not going to happen, 0% chance, is that the Krafts force Belichick out or fire him after 2 bad seasons. It is because Robert Kraft understands that finding Bill Belichick is virtually impossible again, and that you won't want to move on that quickly from Bill Belichick, especially to look stupid after what happened with Tom Brady. Let's just say the Patriots did fire Belichick after this upcoming season, and he did go somewhere else, and they did end up winning, and suddenly the Patriots have a loser, and Belichick's winning somewhere else, and Brady's winning somewhere else. Robert Kraft would never be able to stomach that, ever. So I would think Robert Kraft would encourage Belichick to move to the front office only, GM-wise, instead of forcibly removing him from the organization. Now, that's a little sticky, because Belichick has proven to be a better coach than a GM. But I don't think there's any way, no matter how bad this season goes, that Belichick, quote, gets fired because his seat is warm. Okay, so that's where it sounds ridiculous and is ridiculous. Here's where it's more nuanced. There is obviously pressure on Belichick to win right now and this season. And so it depends on how you define a warming seat. A warming seat usually suggests that a guy wants to stay but could get fired. A warming seat in this case might just mean there's a lot of pressure on Bill Belichick to win, and that pressure will be ratcheted up to a crazy degree if the Bucs win and the Patriots don't. If you want any evidence that Belichick is extremely aware of the pressure to win right now, look no further than his spending in free agency. The Patriots never do that. 20 years of Bill Belichick at the helm of the Patriots, he has never had a shopping spree. He has never had a supermarket sweep. He signed some big-ticket free agents. Adalius Thomas was one of them. Stephon Gilmore was one of them. He's done it, but he hasn't signed all of them. He has never had an offseason where he has been the number one spender like this with a bullet around the NFL. He's never been the guy to say, cut that guy a check, cut that guy a check, cut that guy a check, without being very frugal with those decisions. So what changed? You might say, DA, how about the ownership? Maybe there's pressure from them. Yes, but the ownership can't force Bill Belichick to take on players that Bill Belichick doesn't want to take on. The front office, the ownership rather, might have given the front office the green light to say, hey, we got to get better right now. So if you got to spend money, we're ready to do it. We're going to spend the money. You don't have to worry about that. That might be part of it. And there might be a situation where Robert Kraft sits down with Bill Belichick and says, how do we get better right away? If it's free agency, let's do that, and encourages him to do it. But you're not going to tell Bill Belichick who to sign. You're not going to tell Belichick who to play. You're not going to tell Belichick who to lavish a monster free agent contract on. Those are Belichick decisions. That is the awareness of Belichick that we're not very good right now as a roster, and we can't get very good quickly, and we need to get better quickly. See, when you sign all of that free agent talent and spend all of that money, that is not a patient play. That is not, let's see how this plays out. That is, we need to win right now. Whenever a team goes through monster free agent additions, it is the expectation to win right away. We don't have time to do it the other way. So there is the validation of the pressure and expectations on Belichick. And this is obvious where this comes from. It stems from the fact that without Tom Brady in year number one, the Patriots looked like a mess at quarterback. They could not move the football offensively. They had to jerry-rig ways to even win games by a 30-some-odd-year-old quarterback running the football every down, or special teams victories, were crazy, weird ways to win, which Belichick has specialized, just to make 7-9. But a season that ended before week 17 of the regular season, that they had nothing to play for week 17, which never happens in New England, compounded by the guy that left winning a Super Bowl. It's obvious. It couldn't be more stark. Brady leaves, new team wins a Super Bowl after going 7-9. Old team goes from winning Super Bowls to going 7-9. It's the LeBron corollary. LeBron is on a Cleveland Cavaliers team that's a champion, goes to a Heat team that's a lottery team, goes to the NBA Finals. Old team, the Cavs, becomes a lottery team. Goes from Miami to Cleveland. Cavs were a lottery team without him. Become a champion with him. He leaves the Heat. Suddenly they're the lottery team. This has happened throughout his career. Leaves to go to the Lakers. They're now a champion. He left the Cavaliers. They're the lottery team. It's the same corollary. Tom Brady leaves. New team great. Old team bad. With Tom Brady, old team good. New team was bad. There's no doubt that Belichick understands the perception here. And boy, does Belichick love his place in NFL history. He can't stop talking to NFL films documentary makers. You know, once upon a time, Belichick didn't want to talk about anything. Now, let's sit down for an 8-hour series on the building of the Patriots. Let's sit down with Bill Parcells, a guy that he hated for a decade, maybe more. We'll sit down and we'll talk it out as long as the NFL films cameras are rolling. The Patriots have invited these cameras, and Belichick has, for the longest time, stiff-armed them. Now, Belichick wants his place in history very well set. He wants to chase down Don Shula, and he wants to be the winningest coach in NFL history, and he wants to be renowned as the greatest coach ever. And he was, NFL Network does the NFL 100 specials. Belichick's on every one of them. He can't be bothered to meet with the other coaches at the NFL league meetings to take a big picture with all the coaches that is supposedly done every single year. Doesn't want to do that. Won't meet with the other coaches. Hates the league meetings. Doesn't want to be there. But have him sit down for 10 hours to talk about you know, some running back from the 20s, he's in. He'll do that forever. He loves his place in history. Understands the history of the game very well. He understands what this looks like historically. Brady went and became a winner in another place that was a loser before. Belichick became the loser when Brady left. LeVar Arrington's right in this regard. Everybody in Foxborough is very hypersensitive about the perception that it was Tom Brady as the magic sauce. They are hypersensitive about that. There is a reason when you watch Patriots games that there is essentially an unwritten agreement that you must show the record of the Patriots since Robert Kraft took over. That is done every game. Here's the Patriots before Robert Kraft. Here's the Patriots after Robert Kraft. Kraft is very aware of his reputation as the savior of the Patriots. Bill Belichick is very aware of his reputation as one of the greatest, if not the greatest coach ever. That stuff gets popped if they lose when Tom Brady leaves. They know it. So yes, there is massive pressure on the Patriots to win this year. That's why they spent all that money in free agency. Belichick, Kraft know this, but it stopped short of Belichick would be fired this year if they didn't win again. When we come back, let's talk to Dan Shaughnessy about this Boston Globe columnist, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
I listen to all these shows. You're right at the top. Hopefully it'll work out great for you, and hope the Moraz also.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome inside a Friday morning edition. Thanks so much for joining us of the DA Show here on CBS Sports Radio. It's a Target Demo Friday, so let us know where you are and how you're listening. And if you would take Badlands Booker over Percy the Ostrich in a spaghetti eating competition, it'll make sense once you see the meme. Go to DA on CBS on Twitter or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. We were just talking about LeVar Arrington's comments suggesting that there is pressure that the seat is warm in New England for Bill Belichick this season after the way that last year went and Tom Brady winning a Super Bowl. Here to clarify what's going on in Foxborough, a guy that's close to the ground there, Dan Shaughnessy, our friend, columnist of the Boston Globe. Dano, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, DA, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Some people think that LeVar Arrington is crazy for suggesting that Bill Belichick's seat could be warm. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd go along. I don't think that's the case. I mean, I don't think Bill will get forever to be a little reckless at the quarterback position and not be prepared like he was last year. But I also think, you know, 20 years of service time and the notion that they've worked together a long time and he's been to 9 Super Bowls for these guys, yeah, I don't think there's going to be any kind of a trigger on Bill Belichick. And their schedule's pretty soft this year. Even if they go with Cam Newton, I mean, they'll win more than half their games, I think. So I think he's okay.
What do you think is their thinking behind the quarterback position, considering Cam was so bad last year?
It's almost like Bill likes to prove a point. He's kind of stubborn, and he doesn't overvalue certain positions. Oddly, one of them is quarterback, evidently. And, you know, it's like I said, it's a little bit stubborn. There's a notion that the system prevails and that, you know, they won with 10 games with Matt Castle that year, 11 games, and that they can go back to that, and that if you bring in the opt-outs come back and the free agent spending spree they went on, beef up in the draft a little bit, they'll be okay. I think that's his thinking. I do think that it's like a 3-year plan, and last year was year one, and I think by the third year that the next guy will be in place. I have no idea who that is. I don't think it's Cam Newton, but it might be this year, especially out of the jump. So, you know, obviously the draft comes up in a couple weeks. Have a better idea then what their plan is. But in my view, he's stubborn enough and secure enough to go into this season with Cam back there and say, well, it was a new system, didn't have any wideouts, had COVID. you know, it was a lot of unevenness going on, and they still won seven games and were in it a couple at the end when, frankly, Cam was the one who didn't make the plays at the end of the ones they lost, a couple of the close ones. So, yeah, I think it wouldn't surprise me if that is the plan, as much as everybody, you know, spits on the ground when it's presented.
Do you think that Kraft and Belichick are smarting from the nationwide speculation that it was Tom? Tom's the Patriot way. Tom, the winning left when Tom left. Do you think that they are sensitive about that?
I think Bob Kraft is. He's sensitive about everything. He wants to be liked. And he always tries to work both sides of every issue so that he'll be liked. And, you know, I understand that in his stage of his life and with his accomplishments, that's understandable. I think Bill scoffs at it. And frankly, I do too. You know, I just think football, it's not like basketball where you can have the best player and you're going to get to the finals just by having the best player. It doesn't work that way in a 22-man sport. And it was great having Brady here. He's clutch, and he's probably the best to ever play the position. But is he that much better than Aaron Rodgers or Peyton Manning? I mean, maybe in the clutch he is, but I think they'd have won a lot with another good quarterback. And I think everyone knows that who's in football. So I just think, like, again, I think Bill's probably just scoffs at that. You know, I think he wants to catch Shula. He's about 45 south of that. And I agree with it, because in that sport, it is the system to a degree. To have the kind of winning that they've had over the 20-year period, it's more than a great quarterback. Now, obviously, it doesn't look good for Bill in the year that Tom leaves. He wins the Super Bowl for the Bums in Tampa Bay, and the Patriots don't make the playoffs. So Tom's certainly in the leaderboard is up top right now. But I think if football people, I don't think would sign on to that.
Dan Shaughnessy joins us from the Boston Globe. So who do you think ordered the code red? Who was the one that said we should spend all of this money in the offseason, because the Patriots never do that? So it comes from some type of urgency to win right now.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a you know, admission that they haven't drafted well and that they really weren't prepared for last year. And I think both of those things are true. And they kind of knew the Bills were trending ahead of them, and they still are. But also to win seven games with what they had and to look at the schedule that they've got. Yeah, and we all know in that sport, in 6 months you can go from bad to pretty good. And they certainly know that. And with the opt-outs coming back, and let's bring in some guys to plug those holes, particularly at some of the skill positions where they were so thin, I don't think it was – I think Kraft said, yeah, do what you have to do. And Bill was of a mind to, this is a good time to strike on that. I think I don't think it's a complete panic as much as – but it is an admission. And the owner said as much a couple of weeks ago, that they haven't drafted well, which is a lot for them to admit. Bill's never going to admit that, but they haven't. And this was a little bit of a makeup call.
Over to the Celtics. Every day that goes by is a day closer to the end of the regular season, which feels like a doomed season. What, in your estimation, has been the biggest problem for the Celtics not being able to finally get their traction and footing?
DA, it's really a soft team. It's an annoying team and very disappointing. They've been to the finals 3 times in 4 years. You know, some of that's being in the East, and you know they had Kyrie Irving here and Haywood for a little bit, although he was hurt most of the time. But it's Al Horford was here and still playing pretty well. So right now they left it up to the two young stars, Brown and Tatum. And in my view, you know, they're great players. Tatum especially has tremendous upside, but I think there's a lot of AAU warrior going on there, and they're hard to coach, and I think they think they're better than they are. And clearly in the conference, Milwaukee, Brooklyn, and Philly are better. And so it's kind of a fight for that fourth seed. And for them, it becomes a fight to stay out of the play-in round. But I think they're a one-and-done this year. I'd be surprised if they're anything but that. They've been very soft at the end of close games. Came up against the Knicks. They won at home the other night against the 25-27 Knicks, but that gets them back to 500, which is unacceptable when you've been where they've been and you have the expectations that they have. So a very annoying season. I mean, it's a hard team to like. And I know that Tatum and Brown are young, but it's Brown's fifth year in the league and Tatum's fourth. I mean, Bill Russell already had a couple MVPs by then, not to compare ridiculous people. But so, yeah, I just they have some making up to do. And I'm not impressed with where they're headed right now.
The Tatum and Brown thing's really interesting because obviously they're talented players, and yes, they're young, but as you said, it's not like they're rookies or second-year guys. They've been around the league long enough, and Jason Tatum is considered a superstar by many. And so do you think that the Celtics have to add another piece or multiple pieces for them to actually be winners, or do you think it can just be seasoning, that more experience can lead to a better Celtics team with the same cast?
It's a tough one up here, I'll tell you, because you know the trade exception, they used a lot of that on Fournier, and they're hoping to get him back. And he seems like a useful guy, but they don't have that third star, which you need, it seems to be, in the NBA today. And I don't know what they're going to do. And Stevens is 8 years in now, so he's not the new coach anymore. And I don't think they're doing what he wants them to do. I can't believe he's teaching this amount of ISO ball, you know, lazy defense. And you know, we've had instances where you know Tatum will get a rebound and dribble for 22 seconds and then fire it up. And it's just that cannot be what they're working on in practice.
Dan Shaughnessy joins us from the Boston Globe. What did you think about the City Collection jerseys of the Red Sox? They are yellow.
Yeah.
They've got blue, light blue trim. It's going to be a light black with a yellow B. I don't see any red or blue in there. So what are you thinking about these?
Well, it's a UCLA look a little bit, and obviously the Boston Marathon is what they're aiming for there. And, hey, I don't get all lathered up about that too much. I mean, I do about enough stuff, you know, and that's not one that bothered me too much. Knock yourselves out this weekend. It's certainly it's not traditional, and it's trendy and stylish and good for them. So I say, you know, it'll look weird on TV, though, to see them playing in those duds after 120 years of traditional unis.
Well, there's a larger point here where Major League Baseball feels like it has lost a younger generation. Yeah. It has lost its impact in diverse communities, urban communities, etc. And so they are hoping that things like this, that's why you brand with Nike to make crazy jerseys, is to sell it to kids and communities that you're not normally involved in. And there's always this argument that baseball's pace of play has killed it recently. Do you think that the slowness of baseball has really knocked it off of its perch from where it once was?
No, absolutely. I mean, it's asking too much for people to hang in there for 3.5 hours. And in today's world with, you know, tweets is about the length of the average attention span is your whatever the number of characters that is now. And people getting their games and information on their devices, and they're not plunking down on the couch for 3.5 hours to watch, you know, walks, homers, and strikeouts. It's dreadful. And one of the problems with this is the players don't see anything wrong with it, because the guys playing the game they don't care how long it takes, and it's a dreadfully slow product, and they're not gaining new fans, and the older fans are dying away and not going to be replaced. It's trouble. Then that's why this extra inning thing, I don't even mind it. Put the guy on second base, you know it's going to be over and within a half hour or an inning or two, as opposed to another hour or 12 innings. So the stuff like that, to me, is okay. It's artificial and gimmicky, but you got to do something. And, you know, there's just not enough happening. There's not enough balls in play, not enough action, and the pace of play is dreadful, and it's killing them.
Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, always excellent stuff. Dan, enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the marathon. Always a very special time up there. Well, the marathon, unfortunately, these years have been canceled, postponed, virtual, what have you, but it's always a celebratory day in a lot of ways and a lot of remembrance in the Boston area. So it's always good to talk to you. Thanks so much, and we'll do it again.
Take care, DA. See ya.
You too. Dan Shaughnessy joining us this morning on the show, and his thoughts on the Patriots is an interesting one. Mraz, we were just talking about this at the top of the hour about whether Belichick's seat is warm, and he said he thinks that Kraft is sensitive about this right now, about that they're losing and Brady's winning, but Belichick is not, and that Belichick's stubborn enough to just run it back with Cam Newton and expect different results. Could you see the pressure getting ratcheted up on Bill and him responding to that pressure, coaching a different way or doing things a little differently?
No, I think for Bill Belichick, he thinks he's above any owner or any media critic or anybody in the NFL. He's Bill Belichick, and he is going to do it his way, and he will never think that somebody else is right and he's wrong, and he thinks to think of it differently because he's Bill freaking Belichick.
It's interesting that, you know, that Dan said, in terms of where the sensitivity comes from, it's definitely from Robert Kraft and not from Bill, and that Bill thinks this could be a 3-year project perhaps, and that was just year one. I'm scared to think of what Cam Newton looks like next year. I'm scared to think what he looks like this year in 2021. Next year, a 3-year plan with Cam Newton where last year he's the starter, this year he's the starter and they have a rookie under him, or next year he's the starter and they have a rookie under him. How much longer can you squeeze Cam Newton and think you're going to get anything more out of him?
And still that ticking time clock of wondering if he'll stay healthy. If it's a 3-year plan, it has to be, we saw what he had left. There was nothing left. We saw enough that he could be basically a gatekeeper until the rookie we draft this year is ready. And then next year in year three, it's that rookie from this year's time to shine. But the question is, when New England sits in the draft, we already know 3 quarterbacks are coming off the board, 1, 2, or 3. We've seen Belichick play draft bingo where he's moved back a ton to collect assets and not really care about big prospects in the first round. Will he do enough to move up, maybe trade with an Atlanta Falcons? Because that's the only way this 3-year plan works, is if there's somebody you believe in, maybe it is Trey Lance or Mac Jones or Justin Fields or whoever, and then that's the guy learning from Cam Newton. You can't expect to roll the dice on Cam Newton for 3 years as a starter and think that's going to work.
And it's a peculiar situation, too, because if the Patriots are improved this year based on their free agent additions and their opt-outs coming back and the no COVID thing and Cam Newton in year number 2, you're going to have a worse draft pick next year. You know, if you do end up going 9-7, 10-6, something like that, you're not going to be drafting again to the top 15 or the top 10. And so how do you move into the top 10 to get the quarterback that you want? Is it going to be a Patriots thing where they go after the Kellen Mond of the world or the Trey Lance of the world, which falls, I mean, if Lance is even available, but do they draft the kid in the second round, the third round, the fourth round, and then he's the new sit under Jared Stidham and Cam Newton? It's a weird situation. Bobby's in Louisiana this morning here on CBS Sports Radio on the phones. Actually, Bobby has dropped, and so that gives us a window to get to the update here. Headlines with the one and only Andrew Bogish. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
Good morning again, DA. So round 2 of the 85th Masters is just underway. Justin Rose about an hour away from teeing off after yesterday's 7-under 65. He leads Hideki Matsuyama and Brian Harman by 4 shots, but isn't getting carried away.
To keep the expectations relatively low, even in this situation, is probably not a bad thing for me for the remainder of the week. And just keep it one shot at a time, just keep committing. This golf course, you can never get ahead of yourself on. We've seen it many times.
The 65 is Rose's best round ever at Augusta. On the flip side, Bryson DeChambeau, Rory McIlroy, 4 over after yesterday. Only 12 golfers broke par in round 1. Weather could be an issue today. Clouds all day, a chance of rain and storms in the afternoon. We have discussed Akil Baddoo's great opening week on the diamond. There is also White Sox rookie Yermin Mercedes.
Keller's offer, Mercedes launches, deep to left, gone! Back to back in the first.
That was as hard as a baseball can be hit by anybody.
That's Len Casper and Darren Jackson on White Sox Radio.
Wait a minute. They hire Tony La Russa with his terrible driving infractions that are unforgivable, and their star rookie's last name is Mercedes? I mean, what kind of cruel world is this?
La Russa's got Mercedes on the lineup card every single day.
Oh, my goodness. What are the odds of that?
That was a 485-foot homer for Mercedes. 2 more hits last night, making him 15 for 27 so far this season. Chicago beat KC 6-0. Lance Lynn throwing the first complete game shutout of the season. The Astros are 6-1 after a 6-2 decision over the A's, and the Angels top the Blue Jays 7-5-11 in Dunedin. Anaheim says Shohei Ohtani will not start this weekend because of a blister. NBA last night, the Jazz down the the Blazers, 122-103. That's a 23-game home win streak for Utah. The Clippers snapped the Suns' 7-game run, 113-103. 33 points for Paul George, 27 for Kawhi Leonard. The Bulls kept the Raptors struggling, 122-113. And the Heat beat the Lakers, 110-104. LA didn't have Kyle Kuzma, in addition to no LeBron and AD. Damon Stoudemire, Miles Simon, and Gonzaga assistant Tommy Lloyd expected to interview for Sean Miller's old job at Arizona. The NHL hopes the Canucks can play again by the end of next week and finish their 56-game schedule. 25 players and coaches have tested positive for COVID in Vancouver, but yesterday was the first day since April 1st that no one was added to their COVID list. On ice last night, the Penguins beat the Rangers 5-2. Edmonton swept its 9-game season series with Ottawa 3-1, and the Lightning held off the Blue Jackets 6-4. And at the men's Frozen Four, UMass knocked off Minnesota Duluth 3-2 in overtime, and St. Cloud State beat Minnesota State 5-4. The Minutemen, or the Huskies, will win their first national title tomorrow night. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. When we come back, Juju Smith-Schuster's free agent decision. Loyal or stupid? And let me just set up for you, talking to Rulon Gardner coming up here in about 40 minutes from now as well, because if you don't know the background to Rulon Gardner, he is easily one of the most interesting people that has ever walked the face of the earth in the sports world. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
Yo, DA, been a loyal listener since the overnights, my friend. You got me through many a night.
Hey, DA, you got the best show around all day, every day.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Glad you're with us on a happy Target Demo Friday, everybody. We are asking you where you are listening, how you are listening, and who you would take, Badlands Booker or Percy the Ostrich, in a spaghetti-eating competition about 100 years ago. Find the meme and answer that question, all of those questions for us at DA on CBS on Twitter or on Facebook at facebook.com/TheDAShow. You can always leave your commentary also by watching our Twitch feed at CBS Sports Radio on Twitch and chill out 194 tweets. DA looking dapper this morning, especially compared to that bowl of oatmeal on his left. I do worry about this here, Mraz. You know, since we've been working at home now for over a year, and I don't know when we're scheduled to go back to the studios, maybe late summer, Labor Day, fall, who knows. I am worried that by the time I actually see you in person at work, your wardrobe will have disintegrated even more than it once was when we used to go into the office, because now it's a stretch if you do anything besides a T-shirt. If you're not wearing a Yankees graphic tee, it's kind of a win. I mean, today, even to have something that does not have a logo on it is kind of sophisticated formal wear for you.
Yeah, this is a button thermal. I totally agree, DA. Will my wardrobe disintegrate? The only thing I will tell you is I do have a litany of shirts with buttons on them, including multiple ones I got for Christmas that have been completely unworn because, frankly, I have nowhere to go to wear them to. I'm not going anywhere like to the office or even to any kind of like formal party. None of that even exists. I have these awesome, nice, like, dressy shoes I got. I'm not wearing anything. It's the same Gleyber Torres tee in rotation.
I guess I would ask, why would you wear a button-up to work at the office instead of when we are broadcast nationally to every household in America on this simulcast?
It's a good question. I mean, I've tried to be conscious on certain weeks, and then I just obliterate it and move on after a month. I don't know. I guess I kind of embrace the relaxed, you know, showing you I could work hard, relax. Like, there's not really a right answer. There's not. Honestly, it should be even easier for me because I'm not worried about sitting on a train or anything to wear it. I mean, I am a mere 20 yards away now from a ton of button-down shirts. I could wear a different one every segment.
20 yards, probably like 20 feet.
Probably. I'm up the stairs. Right. Yeah, you're probably right. But yeah, like I could conceivably every day wear a different button-down every segment. And I don't out of laziness.
I was going to say, is it just because of the bosses that you don't see the bosses, that you'd wear a button down because you might see the bosses?
Yes. And I think you never know if you're going to meet somebody in a sales department, a client come in where you want to be formal. I guess. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know.
A chicken pesto lady, perhaps.
Yes. It's just what you do, right? Like, you never know what's going to happen after work. You're going into the city. It's just what you do. And then when you're home, you just, I give you credit. Like, you just don't do it. I don't know. You wear what you wear. I don't know. I don't have a good answer. I mean, Boak is just, you know, wearing the Hartford Whalers shirt every other day. It's just, you are, we can never crush you for that. You are unbelievably diligent about trying to look great on camera every day, and we just roll the balls out and have batting practice as far as the rest of our wardrobes go.
I can't wait till we get back in studio. And it's this, like, reckoning of all of these people that were just working and living at home for a year and a half that are suddenly looking like they just came out of a rock. You're like, oh, you know what? Why don't you just go back? Go back to working at home.
What do you think James Graceffo looks like today? Our old friend James Graceffo. We used to call him Artie Lang.
Yeah, James was our fill-in board op guy a couple of times, and he's known around the office as Artie Lang because he really looks that unkempt. Like, he doesn't shave his beard. And he doesn't cut his hair. I don't even think he washes his hair much. His button-down shirts look like they were thrown on his college floor 10 years ago and never have been off of the floor. His jeans are the same jeans every day. What is he looking like after working from home for so long? I have no idea.
Jody.
How about Marco? I mean, Marco Belletti prides himself on dressing down. Even at the office, he's like, I'm not changing for anybody. Marco does our updates sometimes when Bogus is out. Marco wears the dirtiest Yankees hat known to man. He wears a scruffy goatee. He wears a band t-shirt from the 70s or the 80s. No, undoubtedly, it is not a band that has had any album of significance since 1988. And some type of button-down that's kind of like a flannel, some type of flannel over that and the same jeans. What's he doing working from home, doing updates from home for a year and a half?
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, and he already was talking about how he barely eats and just kept gaining weight. Those hips had to have completely widened. That Yankee hat stayed dirty. And the Leonard Skinner tees ain't getting washed as frequently, there's no doubt.
It's going to be just a rude awakening for media companies all over the country when they finally get these people back in the office, or just every company. It's like, whoa, what have you guys been doing for a year and a half?
It's going to be like a 10-year high school reunion. Wow, yeah. You've gained weight. Yeah. Wow, you look terrible.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. So Juju Smith-Schuster had a couple of options in free agency and chose to return to the Steelers. Apparently, Andy Reid was heavily recruiting him. He says that Andy Reid was sending him pictures of the Vince Lombardi trophy almost every day, and that Reid wanted him in Kansas City, but he decided to return to Pittsburgh because of familiarity with the coaching staff and the offense and Big Ben Roethlisberger. I find this a little hard to believe because there's no doubt that Juju going to Kansas City could be a devastating weapon for the Chiefs. They have proven whoever they have, they will find the best way to use that guy. Tyreek Hill ain't Tyreek Hill other places. Mecole Hardman, they find a way to use him. Sammy Watkins, they find a way to get him involved in huge games. It doesn't matter where you came from, the skill level that you have, they'll find a way to take advantage of your skill set. And I think that Juju could have been devastating in that offense because he's good. He's just not great. He's very good. He's a really good two. He's not a number one. But if you put him in Kansas City, where Tyreek is the number one and Travis Kelce's a number one and Juju is your third or fourth option on many plays, you have got a dominant offense. And you know what this tells me? The fact that Juju signed a one-year, $8 million deal in Pittsburgh, I think it had to do with stats and becoming a free agent again. My guess is he wants to run it back in Pittsburgh. He'll be a higher option in the offensive flow chart than he would have been in Kansas City. And he thinks in 2022, he can get the free agent deal he couldn't get in 2021. Because outside of that, Mraz, why would you return to Pittsburgh when you know the Steelers, and I've been defending the Steelers bringing back Ben Roethlisberger, you know they're not going to be as good as the Chiefs, and you know that their offense isn't going to be anywhere near as good as the Chiefs.
And I still really question his stats with Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger couldn't throw long anymore. They had the lowest yards per attempt of any team in the NFL. There's not a lot of room there in that Steeler offense to get big chunk plays unless he's doing them all yards after catch. And by the way, wasn't getting multi-year deals off of playing with Roethlisberger last year, so why would he think much of that would change this year? He didn't have the Kenny Golladay deal out there. I think this is one of the dumbest mistakes I've ever seen somebody admit to making in NFL free agency. I think, honestly, the Chiefs just offered him less money than the Steelers did for 1 year, truthfully.
Yeah, it might have been that. It might have been that both teams offered one-year deals, and the Chiefs did one for six, and the Steelers did one for eight, and he took the $8 million. I mean, because if you're going to ask me where he would make bigger plays and where he would have a bigger impact in big games and where he might get even more notoriety, I would think it would be in Kansas City. If you develop a chemistry with Patrick Mahomes, you can catch huge passes, put up big games. It might not be every week because they're going to spread it around. But, you know, you will end up playing in enormous games and potentially win a Super Bowl, which increased all of the values of all of those guys in Tampa Bay. But in Pittsburgh, they're not going to win a Super Bowl. And it really makes you wonder about the decision to say no to the Chiefs when they really wanted him, apparently. Rulon Gardner is going to join us in a little over 20 minutes. Did you know that Rulon Gardner defeated the undefeatable in wrestling in 2000? Did you also know he once got shot as a kid by a bow and arrow? I got more stories about this that go on forever, and it's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.